And now, today's word.
Today, I am dealing with something that is also part of your life plan, and I've titled my message, Such As I Have. Such As I Have. Each one of us will have to consider what we have in our lives. And there are questions that we all have to deal with. Questions like, in a world full of talented people, where do I find my place? The world is full of talent, so much talent, so many people who can do so much. And sometimes when we look at what people can do, we look at ourselves and wonder, do we have a place? Is there anything left for us? Do we have what it takes to tackle the tasks that face us? How do we make our mark in life? Because if the next 20 years will be significant for you, you have to really consider what you have. What do I have? Is it good enough? Can it work? Can it deliver the results I'm looking for? How do I make my future better than my past? Such as I have. My opening text is from the book of Acts, and it's a very familiar one. Acts chapter 3, verses 4 to 8 is a story of an encounter that two of the disciples of Jesus had with a man who was crippled. You know the story. Peter and John go into the temple to pray, encounter a cripple, and they have this conversation with him, which leads to a very powerful miracle. Acts chapter 3, verses 4 and 8. When Peter and John got to the temple, the man wanted money from them. And let's read the scripture from verse 4. And fixing his eyes on him with John, Peter said, "Look at us. Look at us." So he gave them his attention, expecting to receive something from them. Then Peter said, "Silver and gold I do not have, but what I do have, I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up. And immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. So he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered the temple with them, walking, leaping, and praising God. Peter and John are faced with a cripple. The cripple is asking for money. He's not even asking for healing. And the expectation at that time is that they would dip into their pockets, if they had one. I'm not sure whether they had pockets in those days, but probably into their bags, and take some money and give to that man and walk on their way. That was the expectation. So the man asks for alms, and something enters into Peter and John. By the way, at this time, Jesus is gone. He's gone to heaven. They are alone here on earth. The question is, do they have what it takes to do something about this man's request? And when Peter begins to address the man, he uses an interesting phrase that I want you to take note of. He said, "Look at us." Everybody say, "Look at us." Say it one more time. "Look at us." That's a very important statement. Look at us. Look at us. Look on us. Now, if somebody is crippled and he asks you for money and you're thinking to pray for him, really, you want to do it secretly, don't you think so? Because if you raise the man's expectations so high and disappoint him, you will be ashamed. But Peter said, "Look at us. Look at us." And "look at us" means four things. Number one, it is an announcement that says, "I am here. I am here." Peter and John were making an announcement of their ministry to the crippled man. They're saying, I'm here. I am here. And it's a very important announcement, because sometimes in the midst of the crowd, you have to make an announcement and say, I am here. I am here. I am present. Secondly, it means I have something. I have something. Look at us. I have something. They were clearly telling the cripple, we are not empty. We may be fishermen. Our master is not with us, but we are here and we have something. Thirdly, it means I can make a difference. I can make a difference. It is a statement of confidence. I can do something in your life that will be different. And thirdly, it means I will not disappoint. I will not disappoint. It's a very important concept. And I believe that although the story of Peter and John just deals with the healing of a cripple, which is a miraculous act, I believe there are concepts and there are principles in that story that we can apply to our lives. That if you're confronted with impossible situations, you have to announce your presence. And for many of us, we're dealing with life without announcing our presence. We hide behind people. We hide in the background. We hide in the crowd. We hide our talents because we feel incompetent. Jesus is gone. Peter and John are fishermen, but they were ready to show up. It's your time to show up in this world. You have to show up. You have to let the world know you are here. I'm here. Look at me. You have what it takes. You are not a weakling. You are not a failure. You are not a disappointment. You are here and you have something and you will not disappoint. For us to be able to look into the future and make something great of the future, we have to tell the world, look at us. The world must look up to us. It's important for people to look up to you. Now, when people look up to you, it puts a lot of fear in you. I mean, what if you fail? If you want to make a difference in this world, you have to tell the world, look at us. Depend on me. I will not fail. I will not disappoint. But it must be backed with something. When Peter and John said, look at us, they were not just boasting. They knew what they had. And I like how Peter approached it. He said, look at us. The man, the Bible says, the man looks at them expecting something. Then they had to clarify what they had. They said, silver and gold have I none. I have something, but what I have is not what you're expecting. I'm going to define it on my own terms. Silver and gold have I none. One of the things you're going to discover in life is there'll be things you don't have. There'll be things you don't have. You're not going to have everything in this world. Some of us have things that others don't have, and others have things we don't have. And when you don't have it, it doesn't mean you have nothing. Now, Peter could have said, silver and gold have I none. Give me way. Let me go to the temple. But they said, silver and gold we don't have. In other words, there are some things we can't give you. But if you look up to us, we will give you something greater than silver and gold. I cannot give you what Muhammad Ali can give you. I'm not a boxer. I cannot give you what Lionel Messi can give you. I'm not a footballer. I cannot give you what somebody talented in some other game can give you. I cannot run like Usain Bolt. So in this world, you're going to find out there are some things you don't have, but there are some things you have. And don't let what you don't have hold you down. Don't let what you don't have make you turn your back to the world and say, well, I don't have it. I can't sing like them. I can't talk like him. I can't preach like Pastor Otterbill. I can't also run like you. I don't know what you do. I can't sew like you. I can't do people's hair like you. If you give me hair every Sunday, we will leave here very, very, very angry after church. Because the pastor will mess your hair up. So, he says, such as I have. Everybody say, such as I have. You have to clarify what you cannot do, but you have to also have to indicate what you can do. So, how do we get what we have? How do you get what you have? When Peter said, such as I have, I give, where did he get it from? How do we get the things that we have? In two main ways. Firstly, we get it from what God has freely given to us. There are some things that God freely gives to us. Peter had the name of Jesus. It was a name that had power within itself to turn situations around. The scripture says, at the mention of the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow. The name of Jesus was a gift. Peter didn't have to work for it. In a larger application, we also have things that God has freely given to us. And they have ability to unlock doors for us. So the first thing, how do I have what I have? God gave it to me. Secondly, I have what I have through what I have experienced and learned in life. Although the name of Jesus had power to heal, Peter and John had to know how to use that name. It's much like having a key to a door. Potentially, the key can open a designated door, but someone has to know how to use the key. Just because you have the key to a building does not mean you can open it. You have to know how to use the key. If you take a key and hit it against the door is not going to open. If you take a key and you stand in front of the door and recite words, the door is not going to open. You have to know how to use the key. You have to learn it. So God has given you some things, but you have to learn how to use it. And having a key or having the things that God has given to you are your talents, your gifts. But you have to learn how to use it. Talent without knowledge is like having a key and not knowing which door to use to open it. God wants us to have an advantage in life. And so he's going to give you some things freely, and you're going to learn some things. For us to have an advantage in life, there are three things that we must have in order to have advantage in life. The first thing we need to have an advantage in life is our talent. Our talent. Talents. Things that God has freely given to us. Our gifts. Our competence, things we are competent in, we're able to do. Your talent is something you are able to do naturally. And that's where everything starts from. Starts from talent. Talent. All human beings possess some talent, such as making people laugh, talking, writing, selling things, running, jumping, fighting, singing, playing, collecting garbage, building houses, throwing things, guiding people, planning for people, advising people, sewing clothes, growing food, cooking food, selling food, taking pictures, counting numbers, making sure things work well, saying good things about people, deciding between right and wrong, healing people, being kind, teaching people. These are all kinds of things people do. Now, at the raw state, making people laugh will just attract friends to you. But at the developed stage, making people laugh can be an industry. So God is going to give you talent. Talent is raw material. It is a starting block. It's the raw material God has given to you. And talent is like crude oil. Crude oil. Crude oil has some value, but its greatest value comes out when it is processed and refined. By some accounts, there are about 6,000 different products that can be made from crude oil. So, when you sell crude oil, potentially you are selling 6,000 undeveloped products. When you sell crude oil, you're selling 6,000 potential products. You're selling petrol, you're selling kerosene, you're selling benzene, you're selling ethanol. I mean, you just name them. To rayon, to fabrics, to all kinds of things. You can use for lamination and all of that. All in crude oil. So if you sell a barrel, you've just sold 6,000 potential products undeveloped. And somebody takes it and develops 6,000 products and sells it back to you. You can't be rich that way. That's how talent is. My talent is like crude oil. If I don't refine it, it's of no value. It will be some of some value, but really nothing significant. If God has given me the ability to jump, and I jump, and I jump, it will be of some value. My friends around me will clap for me and say, oh, he can jump and jump and jump. But if I refine that, I can be a world-class high jumper. If I know how to talk and I refine it, I'll be Oprah Winfrey. The difference between Oprah Winfrey and the local gossip is that they all have the same talent. One is refined, crude, and the other is unrefined.